I didn't see her face, so y'all got a treat I didn't get.
Yeah.
I did. As you know, we've been talking about God building the church and how once you're born again, you ought to have some certain things in your life that need to be what we could call pillars. And these pillars will assure you to be an overcomer. Who wants to be an overcomer? Amen. Well, if you want to be an overcomer, there are adjustments you need to make daily in your life. Amen. Because I don't know about y'all, but the enemy comes against me every stinking day. Amen. Every day. And how do I, when the enemy comes into a flood, what do I need to do? I need to grab a hold of something that's solid, that does not move. Something that's secure in my life. Amen. And so I look for those pillars in my life. I make sure that this pillar of salvation, that I know that no matter what comes against me, God is bigger. He's greater. I have a salvation. He promised to keep me. I am there and I will not let go. No demon in hell is going to drag me away. No angel from heaven is going to take me out of it. No man's ever going to pluck me out of his hand because he has me. Amen. It's even better than me having him because I don't know about y'all. I've pulled on things and I've let go. Amen. I just could not hold on. Sometimes I feel, even in my salvation, I just can't hold on. But God, amen. But God says, I got you. Don't worry about this. You let go. And he grabbed me by the scruff of the neck. He said, boy, you are mine. Amen. You're mine. I got you in this. And how do I know that? One thing is my prayer. For 2 weeks we talked about prayer. And we could preach for another 2 weeks on prayer. All right? But I'm praying that y'all had a good prayer week. I really do. I've been asking God that y'all would find time that... Well, excuse me. You don't find time. That you would make time. You ain't going to find no more time than there is. You got to make time. That you made time to be with God this week. That you made time for prayer. That you took out of your busy, overworked schedule to ask God to intervene in your little miserable lives. Amen. You know, I think, oh, this is so important, it's so important. And God's saying, shut up, sit down by me. Come to my feet, rest in me, trust me. Talk to me. You think you got it bad? Talk to me. I'll show you a way out of it. Pray. And I've been asking God that y'all would make that time all week to take out your busy, busy schedule. And I'm not saying that you don't have one. I know you do. But is it so busy that we can't come to the very throne room of grace and speak to the Most High God and listen to what he says? Because prayer is a two-way street. We talked about that. Never be so busy. Never be so busy in your personal life that you can't turn... Here's a concept, wonderful concept. Turn off the stupid box, all right? Turn off the stupid box, just long enough to pray. If we took, and I know some of us here don't have TVs at all, so this may not apply to you, but if you would turn off the radio and the TV and the internet, and you would turn off all the smartphones make stupid people, amen? All right, if you turn off all that garbage, how much time would you have? And that's just between you and God. That's none of my business. How much time would you have? Get off of Facebook and start facing the book. Amen? We're going to talk about facing the book. Today's topic is study. That's a pillar that we need to hold on to. Because when you study the Word of God, you find out who God is, and you find out your position in Him. That's where we're going today. Probably for the next 6 months. I don't know. When we start talking, and like I said, in prayer, you could really preach for a whole year on prayer. Easily. Just taking start in Genesis and work your way through and just find where people prayed or find prayers in the book. You could preach for, I know, a full 52 weeks without hitting the same verse twice. I'm sure you could. But I'm not going there today. Lord has laid on my heart this week, we really need to get this pillar concreted in our life, the pillar of study. It's more than just reading the Word. Don't get me wrong. Reading the Word is fine. It's good. There's nothing wrong. You ought to read your Word. But in reading your word, you ought to study the word of God, the essence of God, applying that to your life. And there are certain things that will happen in you if you choose to do that. Remember, it's your choice. God's not going to force you to. I mean, he prepared a table before you, but he ain't going to rub your face on your plate. You've got to do that yourself. And you say, I don't want to rub my face on my plate. All right, let me ask you this. When you eat something really good, who licks their plate?
With my finger.
With it. She does it with her finger. I do it with my tongue. Yeah. You know, I don't want to waste a drop of it. My brother back there, he's smiling. I know he does the same thing. So my brother Justin over here, he calls that larping. So good that your tongue jumps out your mouth and makes rain, makes it think. You know, it's just that good. And studying God's word is just that good. It will take your physical mind and put it in a spiritual mindset. It'll take the physical things that are going on where we can find truth, because truth only comes from God's word. I don't know if y'all noticed it or not, but there's no truth outside of this word. Amen. There is no truth, I mean absolute perfect truth, outside of God's word. So this pillar of dedicated study will make one approved unto God. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study, amen, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's where we're going to kickstart this today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I come and I pray, Spirit of God, that you would encourage us this day to dig a little deeper, Father. To get to know you in the fullness of your might, to get to know you in the promises in your word, to get to know you in our security through the knowledge of the Most High God. Father, help us to love the truth that we would not be deceived. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for that, Father. Spirit of God, speak to your church today that they might hear what the Spirit has to say. Lord, you would prepare us for the coming days. Lord, we ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. The pillar of dedicated study of God's living word. Today, if God wills, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the thought of the importance of God and of his word. Just how needful is your life? How important is it? I wrote the wrong word there. How important is it to you in your personal life, the study of God's word? Do you really think that it's the food that you need? How long would you live without natural physical food? Not very long. How long have you ever fasted? I mean, just done without food. Right? Most of us an hour or two, you know. I fasted between lunch and supper. Right? But we need that food. Do we really believe that we need this food? Thy word is life. Thy word is sustenance. Do we believe that? We're all shaking our head, yes. Let me ask you, does your calendar show it? Do you mark out time to study God's word? Do you set it out in front of you and say, I'm going to do more than just rush through and read a couple of chapters? Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But there's something deeper than just the physical words on the paper. Do you know that as you study God's word, you get the deeper meaning of God in your personal life? But that takes study. It takes more than just a glancing through or reading it, a hodgepodge of stapled together thoughts. When you sit down at a really good meal, right? The kind of meal that you don't even want to chew it, you just let it set on your tongue. That's meditating on the goodness of it. See, when I read God's word, sometimes I do just fly through it. I really do. Sometimes that's just what I do. But I'm finding the more I've walked with Jesus, the more time I spend like on a verse. And I'll sit and I'll chew that and I'll swallow it and I'll do like a cow and I bring it back up and I swallow and chew it again. I work it like a cud. Just simply because you could. You could chew your cud. God's word needs to be like that to us as Christians. Because when you chew it and swallow it the first time, you may miss some of the nutrition that's in it for you. And you need to bring it back up. And you need to meditate and chew and get it a little bit deeper to get the finer things out of it. I need to study the Word of God not to impress you. I study the Word of God to make me approved to God. That's what told us in 2 Timothy. Study the Word, right? Study the Word to show yourself approved unto God. And then he calls it a workman. A workman needeth not be ashamed. When we read the Word of God, are we working at it? Do you know that really to study the Word of God, it's a job? It takes labor, it takes time, it takes a separation from everything else. When I read the Word of God, I can't listen to the radio. I can just read it and listen to the radio. But if I really want to understand it and dig into it, I can't listen to anything else going on. I've got to get it quiet. Because if I'm listening to something else, I might miss what God's trying to say to me. See, unless you're really studying the Word of God, you're not rightly dividing the Word of God. You can read it and not divide it. You know that? You can read it and take one verse out of context and miss the whole story of Jesus Christ. The only way you avert from that is studying it, working at it. And when you work at it, you need not be ashamed. You wouldn't be ashamed. Because nobody could come to you and say, hey, you know, how about this thing? Now, do you know that the world is looking for the answers of the things that are going on around us right now? Now, we could give them the scientific answers. We can regurgitate what CNN tells us. We could regurgitate what Professor Cosmos or whatever has to tell you. But how about what God's Word says this is? This time that we're living in. This time of upcoming turmoil and earthquakes and diverse places and all these things that are happening on the world stage. How do I know? It tells me in the Word. Now, even in all the turmoil, to offer up an anchor to the lost, I must make sure that I'm anchored there. I've got to make sure that I'm anchored on this foundation tied to the cornerstone of Christ Jesus. When I study God's Word, when I apply God's Word, when I believe what God says, regardless of what I see with my natural eyes, when I do that, that makes me solid, unmovable, unashamed, approved of God. It's a deeper understanding than just what somebody else teaches you. When you study the Word of God, the Spirit of God speaks to you and He illuminates certain things in you. Always remember that the illumination of God, the Spirit of God, will never direct you outside of the Scripture of God. There is no new revelation. All right? There is no new revelation. Everything we need to know about God, about the times we are, it is contained right here in this volume of the Bible. Alright? The only thing I know in the whole Bible that we don't know anything about, especially in the end times and stuff like that, John heard 7 utterances that he was not allowed to write down. Outside of that, we know everything we need to know. And if we needed to know that, guess where it would be? In the Bible. Amen. It would be in that study of the Bible. So the things that you don't know from the Bible, don't worry about. I ain't got to worry about that. I ain't supposed to know it. The times and the seasons, I don't need to know about it. I know that God says He's coming. He He says that there's certain things that's going to happen before he gets here. So all I need to hold on is that, what the Bible says about that. Study it, and then what I'm approved to God. And when somebody comes to me and asks me a question, when somebody comes to you and asks you a question, you can say, well, let's see what the Bible says. Because I study this, that I might give an answer to anybody who has a question about the times, the seasons, and the things that we're living in. That's why study is so important. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17 is just two. And he says, a portion of the scripture is given by the inspiration of God, right? Okay, wait. All? Really? Is it how much of the scripture is given? All is given by what? The inspiration of God. So there's not one word, not one scripture, not one letter, not one period, not one comma, not one jot or tittle in this Bible right here that is not given by the inspiration of God. Who wants to be inspired by God? Amen? You better be in your Bible. Amen? You better be in your Bible. If you ain't in your Bible, you'll be inspired, but you might be inspired by a spirit outside of the Word of God. Do you know that there are other spirits out here that are trying to infiltrate your brain? There are other spirits out here trying to redirect your heart. There are other spirits out here trying to make you stumble and fall and get away from the Word of God. Read other books. I've heard people tell me that. Oh, you read that Bible so much, you need to read another book. There is no other book, right? Well, Pilgrim's Progress. I do enjoy that story. If there's a bedtime story you've never read, Pilgrim's Progress.
Hinds Feet in High Places is good, too.
Huh?
Hinds Feet in High Places.
Amen. Okay. Hinds Feet in High Places. So there are good books, all right? But there's only one good book. It was written by the Good Shepherd. It was written by Christ and Christ alone. As he says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Oh, what's profitable mean? Benefit. Is it worth something? Is the Word of God worth something to you? Is the Word of God worth more than anything else to you? How do you know if that's true or not in your life? You test that, right, my brother? How do you test that? You test it in the Word, but not just the Word closed up on your nightstand. You need to test it in the open Word of God. How many hours a week do you spend in the Word of God? How many hours a day? How many minutes a day? All right. How many seconds a day? All right. We got to get. How many milliseconds a day? I don't know. How much time do you really invest in God's Word? If indeed it is profitable, if it's going to add to you, if it's going to help you grow, if it's going to bring something more to you than what you have, if it's going to be beneficial to you. Who here wants to be benefited? Right? Everybody's working for my benefits. I want my benefits. Right? You want some real benefits? The best benefits are in this Word. The benefits of this world, they're not beneficial at all. Well, they help you pay my rent. Well, hey, God's Word will help you pay your rent too. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3, I believe it is, a man who does not work should not eat. Mm-hmm. All right? Wow, that's beneficial. If you're too lazy to work, you need to be pulled away from the table. Mm-hmm. Amen? You want to put America back to work? Stop feeding them. Mm-hmm. Right? You quit giving them free stuff, they will go to work. Mm-hmm. Right? Anyhow, that's beneficial. So anyhow, as he's saying, it's beneficial for doctrine. All right? So how do you know doctrine? What is true and what is not true? You find it through the Word of God. Amen? Through studying God's Word. It's profitable for reproof. Who here needs to be corrected? Amen? I do. Don't be afraid. You can raise your hand. All right? We're all proud of it. Nobody needs to be as corrected as she does. I'm sorry. I'm making light of this, and I really shouldn't be because it is that serious. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The only way to know what is acceptable to God is through His Word. The only way to know when my lifestyle is not acceptable to God is through His Word. When God tells me something in His Word and is not matching with my heart, my lifestyle, guess who needs to change? I do. You do. Our standard, our cornerstone, the thing that we shoot all of righteousness off, right here is God's Word. And guess who Jesus is? Come on. Who is Jesus? God. He is the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? And then later in that same place, God became flesh. The Word became flesh. Jesus came. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Scripture. To study the Scripture, then you're studying Jesus. And when you study Jesus, He's giving you correction. He's giving you reproof. He's giving you direction. He's giving you sanctification. He's helping you when you cannot help yourself. He's letting you know truth. And what truth is, the Bible says, thy word is truth. Nothing else is truth. There may be some things in this world that appear to be truth-like. All right? They're truth-like. But do you know they're not real truth? Gravity. Looks like truth, doesn't it? But do you know there's a time that you won't be held by gravity? Jesus walked on water. I'm not saying that you're Jesus now, but there's coming a time when that reality of sinking in water is not going to be real anymore. There's going to come a time when the real you that's not wrapped up in this sinful carcass called flesh, when we are relieved from this and we're going to be in a spiritual body, that we will be able to walk through that solid wall. Right now, I can't do that. But there's coming a day when real truth happens. And how do I know that? It's in the Word of God. Jesus did it. Jesus said, everything I do, you can do better. Actually, what He said is, you'll do greater things than these. Not that what I can do, you can do better. That's just a play on words in my mind. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, all right? To know what is real, what's not real, that's what doctrine is. Doctrine tells you what's right and what's wrong. It's good for reproof and correction, for instructions in righteousness. Do you know without God's Word, I don't know how to be righteous? Everybody who doesn't study God's Word thinks they're already righteous. Well, I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that person. I don't do the things they do, so that makes me better. Well, you're still comparing yourself to the wrong person. Yeah, you are probably better than me, but I guarantee you, you ain't good as God. God told us that we need to study to show ourselves approved to God. If I'm supposed to study the Word of God to show myself to God to be approved by Him, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for change of direction, amen, for instructions in righteousness, that the man, the human being, the human of God may be perfect. What's going to make you perfect in this world? Starts with a B and ends in L. E. B-I-B-I-E. Bible. Believe part of it, yeah, but it's the Bible. You've got to believe this. You've got to believe it so much that you change your direction to whatever this Bible says, to what the studying of God's Word says. Because you talk to somebody who's caught in sexual sin, homosexuality, gender confusion. They believe that they're right. How do you know that they're not? It's in the Bible. Man, and God created them, male and female. Okay, so when you were created, there's a DNA strand in you, and it's going to be one chromosome or another. I don't know what they are. Some doctor tell me.
X and Y.
X and Y, right. And so which one's what?
X, Y is male, I think, and XX is female.
Oh. I don't know. That's more knowledge. I don't have excess in that. Only females have things. Why? Anyhow, to know God's truth, that lets me know that there's only a male and a female. And if you're born a male, no matter what you do, you're still a male. Mm-hmm. If you're born a female, no matter what, scientists will tell you different, but they're confused because they don't have sound doctrine. They don't follow the word of God. Anything that you do outside of the structure of God's word will mess up. Get married outside of the structure of God, what does that lead you to? A mess. Have children outside of the will of God, what does that lead you to? A mess. Have any kind of physical relationship outside of the will of God, what's that lead you to? A mess. Do not be yoked unequally, because it brings a mess. And how do I know that? I know it through the word of God. As I study God's word, as I apply God's word, that makes me perfect, not sinless, but perfect before God. You know that? That you can be perfect before God. All right? That doesn't mean that you'll be sinless in this body, but you'll, when God looks at you, he looks at the works of your heart. He looks at what you're striving to become. And he doesn't judge you for what you are right now, but he is going to judge you what you will be. Right? So you need to study God's word to find out what's good doctrine. When I'm not in good doctrine, when I'm not following the way and the will of God, then there's a reproof and a correction. It tells me what's wrong, and it tells me how to fix it. Right? What's wrong in my life, what's sin in my life, how to repair that. That's reproof, that's what's wrong. Correction is the fixing of what's wrong. Praise God. But do we even study the word of God enough to even know what's right and what's wrong? If we listen to CNN or you watch TV or any of that kind of stuff, the world will give you a direction, but that direction will be outside of the perfect will of God. Check any commercial. Any commercial. I don't care what they are. Any of them. Listen to any radio station. Any radio station. All right? Now, I'm not saying that that's all evil, but I am saying that it does not, and unless you're lining it up with God's word, is not profitable. It's not profitable to you. And you won't become perfect by listening to the works of the world. He wants you to become perfect and thoroughly furnished. Man, there ain't nothing better than being thoroughly furnished. Amen? Unless you got to move it. But thoroughly furnished. Everything I need in this temple, I can have through the studying of God's word and applying that word to my life in a real personal way. Everything, I can be thoroughly, completely furnished with everything I need through Christ Jesus, through the word of God. Now the question is, do you believe that? Do you, as the Christian, as the person of God, do you really and truly believe that? We're going to read some out of the Bible now. We've been kind of hitting and missing, but we're going to look at some. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. And all of Psalm 119 is all about studying God's word. Amen? The whole of it. I think there's 179 verses to it. All of it belongs to that. So just 1 through 24 here, and then we'll bounce around. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts. I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth, and hide not thy commandments from me. O, my soul breaketh for longing that it hath unto thy judgments all at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did set and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counsel. All right, so this whole, I just looked over at this. 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep thy law. Yea, shall I observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies, and do not and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let not thy mercies come also unto me. Let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Verse after verse after verse after verse after verse tells you to study his word. Who's going to keep me righteous? God's word. Who's going to show me the sin of my, the iniquity in my heart? It's God's word. And he prays to keep me. Establish your word in that. How is a young man going to stay away from sin? By studying God's word, from knowing it. Lance, how are you going to be made perfect? Through God's word. Ryan, how are you going to be made right? Through God's word. All you ladies out there, all the lovely ladies, all right, all you ladies out there, how are you going to be made right before God? It's through studying his word. And it's his word alone. This is where freedom is. This is where knowledge is. This is where righteousness lives. It's reading and studying and applying his word. And if you're living any day without his word being real and active in your life, then that's one day of death. That's one day of death. If you don't put it in you, on you, through you, if you don't do these things, then you are dying every day. You may not look like you're dying because you woke up, you took a bath, you ate, you digested, you did it. But if you don't read God's word, you won't fall into sin. You will walk open-eyed into lustful sin, the pride of life, all of those things. You'll walk into them deliberately because you forgot the ways of God. You forgot the path of God. You stopped walking in the righteousness of God because you did not apply the word of God. And if you don't apply the word of God, you will not be approved by God. No, that's contrary to some of our beliefs. But if that's contrary to your belief, then you're living a life contrary to the word of God. Yeah. Yeah. I don't care what you believe, especially if you don't believe what the Bible says. There is one foundation, the Lord Christ Jesus. Be careful how you build upon that foundation. God gave us a blueprint. He gave us a word. He gave us his Bible. We need to meditate on it, study it, pray about it, be secure in salvation, be followers of the word of God. Amen? This whole of 119, the whole 170, I think it's 179, there's a bunch of them. Amen? All of them, 176, sorry. 176 verses, all of them bring you back to study God's Word, know God's Word, apply God's Word, trust God's Word. Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on what God's Word says. Let me tell you, your own understanding outside of the Word of God will lead you straight to hell. Follow your heart and you will die and be cast out from the presence of God. Because your heart is deceitful and wicked. How do I know that? God's Word told me so. Amen? In myself, in my flesh, I think my way is right. I think it's okay to have relationships outside of the confine of marriage before I knew Christ. I thought it was a fine thing to do. It's all fun, right? What's it hurt? It hurts everything. The vein of destruction that comes from that is horrible. Who here lives with that thing? I do. I do. Why? Because I didn't have God's Word in my heart. I didn't follow His pathway. I didn't use Him as a light, as a direction in life. And when I did that and I did things my way, I caused destruction. It was not God's will that destruction would happen. That was my will. When I followed my heart, that's what my life brought.
Yeah.
But thank God. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that there was a day that He illuminated me with His love, His righteousness, His goodness, and He brought to my forefront the sin that I was so basking in. And then He cleansed me from it. That doesn't take away the scar of before Christ. Because that goes on. My sin that I did before Christ is still devastating lives today. My sons, right? My children, my grandchildren. Because I was outside of God's perfect word. I did my will, not His will. And because my will ruled in my life, my children and my children's children are caught in the snare I set for them. But God, they got the same chance of salvation I have. Amen. I pray that God will touch them, bring them out of that. I know that you have people in your life. That's where this prayer comes in so powerfully. We need to keep praying. That God will illuminate them to take the hurt out of their life that I caused. Right? And that's how you got to look at it. Because God didn't cause that hurt. God didn't cause that abandonment. I caused it. We need to look at it like that. To hold on to the truth of it. Oh, if I would have done things God's way. My brother's favorite book, Deuteronomy. Flip over there. Chapter 11. This is when I understood this word, it broke me to pieces. It broke me to pieces that I could be made well again, but it broke me to pieces when I read it, when I saw what I didn't do for my children and their kids. 11:13-25. And I hate to start in the middle, but we only have so many hours. Okay, I would suggest that you read the study the Bible, okay? Study all of it, and then you can pick out these little fruits that are here. And I call this a little fruit, but this is a big chokeberry. This one here is hard to swallow, but it's God's Word. Chapter 11, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you rain in the latter in the land in his due season, the rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, And I will sing grass into thy fields, and for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and turn ye aside to serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from the good of the land. Therefore you should lay up my words in your heart and your soul, and bind them for a sign in your hand, that ye that they may be as forelets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them, this is where I messed up, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking them when thou settest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou raisest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. And your days may be multiplied, the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, the days of harvest upon the earth. For if you shall diligently keep most, is that what it says?
No.
No. All these commandments which I command you, and do what? Do them? To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out these nations before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Verse 25 says, There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Look at what God's word says about studying his word. He says, if we hearken how diligently, verse 13, it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commands. Hearken diligently, what does that sound like to you? Huh?
With all your might.
With all your might. Hearken, listen to it, not partially. Don't listen to it part. Don't only listen to the good stuff. Hearken diligently. Pay attention. Do what I tell you to. Hearken, obey. Walk upright before God and man. When you do this, I will promise you the early rain and the latter rain. I will take care of you. I will shelter you. I will keep you. Yes. Go ahead.
Will you read 26, 7, and 8, please, Curtis? Same chapter.
Yep. 26, 7, and 8. And behold, I set before you, I was getting there, this day, blessings and cursings. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. Mm-hmm. A cursing if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside of the way which I command you this day, and go after other gods which you have not known. Mm-hmm. It shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou go to possess it, if thou shalt put the blessing upon Gerizim. Yeah, and the curse upon Mount El anyhow, these two mountains, all right? They're not on the other side of the Jordan, by the way. Where the sun goes down, anyhow, the Canaanites, all that kind of stuff. But as the scripture said just before that, if you will obey God, and how do you know how to obey him? It's in his word. I mean, I have heard Christians say, I'm going to obey what the Spirit tells me to obey. Well, how do you know that Spirit's from God? If you do not. Not every spirit is from God. You must test the spirits to see whether they are from God. How do you test the spirits? By the word of God. This is the standard. And we need to study it, to apply it. Yes. Okay, I haven't got through the first, I got 4 pages of this. People, I love you. I want you to make it to heaven. God says, I'm going to lay a blessing before you. I'm going to lay a cursing before you. Choose you today what you're going to do. Choose today. Mm-hmm. Choose this next week. Is watching the Buffalo Bills more important than reading the Bible? Driving around in circles really fast. Is that, isn't there a Super Bowl or something of baseball going on? Major
World Series.
World Series. World Series. Super Bowl of baseball. Anyhow, World Hockey Cup. I don't know what it is. Is that more important than God's Word? Is watching your daily soap opera, nightly soap opera, more important than God's Word? My brother.
God was around before all of it.
You what? Now, do we trust His Word? Would we rather somebody else telling you what God has to say, or would you rather hear it from God Himself? I want to hear from God. I mean, as much as I like to hear good preaching, I love good preaching, I really do. But it's sweeter to me if I sit in a quiet place and listen to God speak to me through His Word. I might get convicted from sitting in from preparing a sermon because I am. As I'm preaching this, I'm dying because I know that there are hours in my day that I waste doing something stupid instead of holding on to God's Word. I think it's important at the time, but really, truly, it's when it's compared to God's Word, it's not important at all. It really ain't. Some things are necessary, but that doesn't mean that they're important. Oh, the many blessings that the student receives from the study of God's Word. Next week we'll talk about the blessings. Amen. Because there are so many blessings from studying God's Word. There's so much good that we get out of God's Word. So much more than we could ever wrap our hearts and our minds around. Oh, if we would just hear the Word of God. We would just study to show ourselves approved unto the Lord. Again, this is just cracking of the book, right? That's like 2 weeks of prayer, you know, that we talk, that's just crack. And unless you do it, it didn't do you no good, right? I spent 2 weeks up here talking. If you didn't pray any last week or no more than what you normally do, I just wasted all the breath in my lungs. This week, if you don't go home and at least spend some time in the Word of God, I have just talked to the walls. Unless the Holy Spirit has convicted, and I'm looking at you, and I know God is talking to you. God's dealing with you. What you going to do with that? Are you going to trust God? Do His will, His way, His work? You going to trust yourself? Oh, that silly preacher. What's he know? I read my daily crumb today. Don't get me wrong, the daily bread, there's nothing wrong with that, the literature thing. Except it's NIV. Okay. There's many things wrong with that. But if that's all you're getting, why is the crumb good enough when you have a feast? You got a feast. God's Word is a feast. It's more, it's fuller, it's better, it's greater than anything that this world has to provide. So why are we so happy with so little? You got so much. I don't know. Believe me, I got a lot more to say on the subject. We are not through. This is see you next week. Amen. Same bad time, same bad channel. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We ask, Father, for the rest of the day as we're gathered here, Lord, and we're going to be in the very presence of the Most High God as we fellowship this afternoon. Oh, Lord, let this fellowship be sweet and grand before your eyes. Father, let this time of community, Lord, strengthen us as a body of believers, Lord. I pray that you would move on us, in us, through us, that you would be glorified in all that we say and do. Lord, I pray that we would study your word, that we would look deeper within ourselves when we hear the truth of the word. How should I apply it? How should I apply it? Father, help me to weigh out what's right, the blessings and the cursings. Help me to lay out the righteousness for reproof and correction. Father, help me to walk in the holiness of the Most High God. Lord, let me put your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Lord, I ask those things, not just for me, but for your people that have heard this word. Lord, I pray that you would move mighty in and on and through them, that they would glorify you, not just with mouth alone, but with every aspect of life. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to pray for the food.